Now, the creation of man, that's where the soul started, of course. But if you look at Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, I was with Pat one day when I read this, and I realized something. We know we are spirit, soul, and body because the Bible says so later. But here, God had only two things to work with. He had the ground, which is the body of man, the ground. And he had the breath of life, which came from God, and God is a spirit. So the breath of life is a spirit that he breathed into this lump of clay. So where the soul comes from? Where did it come from? Because it said, "And man became a living soul." So I realized that the overlap of body and spirit is what the soul is. The connection, when you have the clay here and the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God touched the clay, the soul was formed. And no wonder, because that's the way it's represented. Generally, in all the teachings about spirit, soul, and body, that they draw like a target, with the outer ring being the body, the center circle being the spirit, and the middle ring being the soul. In other words, the soul is a connection between the spirit of man and the body of man. And it is recognized that the soul exists. Now, I had talked, a lot of psychiatrists think that soul and spirit is the same thing, but it's not the same thing. And I talked to a pastor, an Assembly of God pastor once, who is a psychologist, and he told me, no, spirit and soul is the same thing. But the Bible doesn't say so. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul is saying spirit, soul, and body. And you need to know the scriptures, because sometimes somebody's going to tell you that spirit and soul is the same thing. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So here it says that the soul and the spirit get divided by the word of God. And it surely does, because when you are a new Christian and you start reading the Word of God, it looks like certain things are going to be put in the right place. It looks like certain thoughts, you're going to start discerning your thoughts, and you're going to start knowing what's coming from your soul and what's coming from your spirit.
But also, when you witness to somebody and they get all, because that sword is piercing them.
Yeah, it's separating the soul, the soulishness, from the purity of the spirit. In Luke 1:46 and 47, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." So Mary knew she had a spirit and she had a soul. But that's, the Jewish people knew that from even the times of David. Now, in Deuteronomy, there's three scriptures that you can tell that even the Lord was telling them they had spirit, soul, and body. Deuteronomy 6:5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And I can read there, the heart in the Old Testament, most part, 98% of the times where the Old Testament talks about the heart, they're talking about the spirit. In the Old Testament, they call the spirit the heart of a person. Why? Because the spirit is the heart of a person, it's the innermost part of a person. So they call it the heart. So you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The three parts of a man. So you have to love God with all the different parts of you. Body, soul, and spirit. Deuteronomy 11:13, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So we have to serve him with our spirit, and we have to serve him with our soul, and also with our body, which is our strength. And Deuteronomy 32, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now, there's two meanings of the word soul in the Bible when you read the Bible. The word soul might be referring to a living person. Or it could be referring to the soul of that living person. In many cases, seeking my soul or waiting for my soul could mean a plot to kill the speaker of those words. If people are seeking my soul, it means that they're trying to take my life. For instance, 1 Samuel 24:11. Moreover, my father, see ye, this is David talking. See the skirt of thy robe in my hand. David talking to Saul. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou, and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. But there's another parts in the Bible where when it's mentioned hunting a soul has a different meaning. And we're going to get to see that. Now let's see some characteristics of a soul. The soul of a person can be tied or knitted to another soul or thing, and we know that. We know about soul ties. 1 Samuel 18:1, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So the soul of Jonathan was knitted to the soul of David. That can happen to the soul. That word knit is 71:94, is to tie, bind up, join together. Genesis 34:1-3, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of a country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. Okay. This clave is 1692. And it means cling or adhere, catch by pursuit, abide fast, be joined together, keep fast, overtake, stick. Again, joined together. So, and this is what we know also. Whenever somebody has sex with somebody, in or out of a marriage, there's going to be a soul tie. And it happened here. And clave and knit mean the same thing, joined together. So they used the different words, but it's the same meaning. That his soul got joined together to the other soul. Now, another thing, and this is the most interesting part for people who are in deliverance. And I want to say it first, because it's the most important part that we're going to find here. Excuse me. A soul can be fragmented, made to fly or flee, can be pursued, and can be imprisoned. And you know where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the point of view of the witchcraft that takes a part of a soul of somebody and puts it away, whether it is in a jar with, like the Haitians do, in a jar with the top, which also was done in Guatemala. I don't know if the Guatemala Indians do the same witchcraft, or if it's just voodoo also. But this is very, very old. It is a very old witchcraft. So every time we minister to somebody, we have to remember to check and see if their soul has not been fragmented and if part of the soul is not imprisoned someplace. In which case, we ask God to send the angels to find where that soul is imprisoned and set that soul free, that piece of soul free to come back to the right place. Now, in Job 30:15, says, terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passes away as a cloud. Now, who was pursuing Job? Terrors. He calls it terrors. There were spirits of fear that were pursuing him. And they were pursuing his soul as the wind. Okay, in Psalms 143:3, he says, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Now, this psalm is not talking about real people persecuting the soul of David, if he's the one who wrote this psalm. He's not talking about the enemies he had at war, because he couldn't say, he has smitten my life down to the ground. He couldn't say, he has made me to dwell in darkness, like he who had been in a dungeon or something. He's talking about spiritual things here. He's talking about spiritual enemies. The enemy has persecuted his soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that had been long dead. Obviously, he was feeling depressed or tormented in some way that, he put it that way, the enemy had been persecuting his soul, which is what demons do. Psalms 7, 1 and 2, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. The soul can be torn up. The soul can be fragmented. And he says, lest he tear my soul like a lion tears his catch. like a lion. He's not talking about a lion, he's talking about a spiritual enemy that could rend his soul in pieces. Now, the voodoo people does that. They do just that. They take a piece of a soul, not the entire soul. Now, we know that a person can have fragmented personalities. And those fragmented personalities have come up from crises that they had had in their lives, where they develop a personality to cope with that crisis, and that personality continues afterwards. That personality doesn't get integrated or restored back, but it continues, and that person needs to have deliverance and a spiritual handling of a matter to get the restoration. But there's three reasons why they can have fragmented personalities, or what appear to be fragmented personalities. One is just this, what I told you, where it's a real piece of personality, a real piece of that personality acting independently, or the reason for that piece of personality acting independently is the work of a demon, not a crisis in that person's life. And the third could be a demon that acts as a personality. So when the people that deal in this ministry work with people, they have found out those three cases. Now, let's see how this really happens. And in the times of Ezekiel, this was happening. So you see, none of the witchcraft that we know today, it's new. It's not a new invention. Witchcraft has been going on for centuries, and they're doing the same thing over and over. They haven't invented anything new. In Ezekiel 13, it says, "Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. To hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people?" Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, that's for the other people. That's not for the Christians. But God is saying here, the souls of my people. And will you save the souls alive that come unto you? The souls that come unto you. So they hunt the souls, and the souls come unto them. "And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live? By your lying to my people that hear your lies. Wherefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly." You make the souls, they make the souls fly. "And I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So they are hunting for souls. And when David is saying that pursue my soul, he might have been talking about this type of witchcraft. "Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthen the hands of a wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore you shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So this is in the time of Ezekiel. Now, I believe that this type of witchcraft came from Egypt, because we know that all the African witchcraft came from Egypt. And that's why we have the voodoo practitioners doing the same thing today. This witchcraft that came from Egypt, it might have been some of the Israeli people that came out of Egypt bringing that type of witchcraft, maybe, or somebody else later that came from Egypt with that kind of witchcraft. I think the origin of this witchcraft is Egypt. So it's the same thing that they do today. Now, I don't know how the voodoo people do it. I don't know if they use the scarves and the pillows, because it looks like they sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature. It means age, to hunt souls. The kerchiefs and the pillows in the armholes were things that they used to hunt the souls. And then later here he says, I am against your pillows wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them, the souls or the pillows, I don't know, I will tear them from your arms. So it was something around the arms. And we'll let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. So, no. These were pillows that they used around the armholes. And then the kerchiefs were on the head. And this is something that they do at a distance. You don't have to be there. And maybe they use also dolls, I don't know. But the fact is that they can extract parts of the souls of people and put them in prison, put them in a jar, because we know that that is going on today. Now, Psalms 124 says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And in Psalms 142:4-7, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. His soul was in prison. He was not in prison. It was his soul that he felt was in prison. Now, and then Psalm 23 says what God is capable to do. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness Yes, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So the Lord can restore those souls. So that is an important part of our ministry of deliverance. And we can't forget to check on that. You know, we have so many things to check when we minister to somebody. And that's why we can't do everything in one sitting. We need to meet with that person several times. And one of the things that we have to remember to do is to restore, have the Lord restore the soul. But we have to send the angels ahead to go get the pieces of the soul. And I think that there's could be a lot of other ways that they imprison a soul. Like when they put a picture of a person underground. That is putting that soul in prison, I believe. Maybe they attach that fragment of soul to that picture and then they put it underground. Now, the Bible says that the soul of a person can be polluted. And guess how? We talked about that last Sunday. Ezekiel 4:14. This was Ezekiel talking to the Lord. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, my soul has not been polluted. For from my youth up, even till now, have I not eaten of that which dies of itself or is torn in pieces, neither came their abominable flesh into my mouth. So it looks, and the Bible is saying, and I think it's very clear, that if we eat pork, shrimp, lobster, etc., our soul gets polluted. And I don't know what that pollution means, what the demons come in will do to us, maybe sickness. Now, the soul can be redeemed, rescued, converted, and delivered by the Lord. Psalms 34, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalms 35, Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. Rescue my soul. He's not saying that his body was being destroyed. He was saying his soul was being destroyed and he was asking the Lord to rescue his soul. So the soul is a very vulnerable part of a person, almost as vulnerable as the body is in the material sense. The soul is vulnerable in the spiritual sense. Psalms 55. He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Now, I could say that of myself, that the Lord has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me, because I've been delivered of many, many demons that were with me, and he delivered my soul. Psalm 69:18, draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. So, redeeming his soul because of his enemies. Who were the enemies? David's enemies were blood and flesh enemies that wanted to destroy his body, not his soul. So David knew about deliverance. And half of the times the Psalms are talking about spiritual enemies, and half of the times it's talking about fleshy enemies. So when we read the Psalms, we have to discern which is which. Because if you remember, Saul had an evil spirit, and David played the harp to get him to calm down. So he was acquainted with demons. Psalms 120. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Now, why would a deceitful tongue and lying lips have to do